of your message. See what great love, just to the reading of your message. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what will we be, and what will be has not been yet made known. But we may know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him nor known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not know what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. Amen.
Take your time. Woo! Sounds loud out here. Am I echoing? There's the voice of God ringing in my ears. Okay. Glenn, you should preach for us sometime. Come on, man. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Let's open the pulpit to our elders, you know, a little more often. Let's hear from them. I want to hear their stories. I want to hear how God's working in their lives. Seems like, you know, Jeff and I keep coming up here and telling you all the great things God's doing in our lives, and we'd like to hear what God's doing in your life. This is a great way to be able to do that, especially from our elders and those that we would say spiritual leaders in our church. This letter that Paul John is writing, is phrased as, dear children or dear sons and daughters. It's kind of a pastoral care letter that's being sent to encourage others as well as to even confront them. And throughout the letter, it's five chapters. I'd encourage you to read all five chapters. I know he was encouraging you to read the soap, but sometimes you read the soap and it just kind of like whets your appetite, you know? And just keep going over the soap, and keep going over the soap is good as well, because when you show up on Sunday, you'll be well-versed in the verse. And God will be able to open some new doors for you, okay? So there's a reason why we ask you to do this through the course of the week, so that you're prepared to hear what God would do for you, and that you're praying in such a way. Throughout the letter, John makes a lot of contrasts. Light and dark, loving God, loving the world, truth, lies, love, hatred, life and death, good and evil. And he communicates pretty much in a very simple kind of terms and in very practical ways in which you can have fellowship with God. And in our soap, we find ourselves in chapter 3. And this one can be kind of deep in its theological understandings. And it goes way beyond that which would be kind of surface, that which is kind of the flesh. And it kind of deeper than world views, deeper than environmental views or community views or cultural views. And certainly within the passage, there are aspects that lend itself to confusion and misunderstanding. And it's always good to go over it again because it'll say something else. And go over it again because it'll say something else. But we can find ourselves reading the passage of scripture and just kind of thinking in worldly terms and not taking it into a very deeper spiritual context. In other words, mankind's way of thinking, keeping it very superficial or surface kind of understanding. That's why it's good to go over it a couple times. This is one of those scriptures that lends itself to that theological depth as well as some practical application. So The sin that is so dramatic in the passage that is mentioned here, the glaring overriding sin, is that people do not become children of God, and they stay in their sin. Okay? This is the overwhelming, overriding, right, glaring theme, if you would, in this particular passage of Scripture, that many do not become children of God. They keep on without God. They keep on sinning without God. They remain in their sin. And the reference to lawlessness is kind of perplexing. That's one of those thoughts that make us think about man's ways, okay? Because we think about the law, we think, Ten Commandments and what Moses gave us. And then we're looking at our behavior. And how are we doing with our behavior? We think of sin in terms of our behavior. Yet lawlessness in this particular passage of Scripture, the original text, is talking about original sin. The works of the devil that perpetuates sin, that promotes sin to draw you away from God. And by any means necessary. And sometimes that's through your pain, and sometimes that's through your pride. That's sometimes so things you ain't so good at, and that's sometimes through the things that you're really good at. By any means necessary to draw you away from God. People that do not accept Jesus Christ remain in sin. People may say, well, you know, about their sin, I was born this way. And I say, yeah, me too. I was born into sin. Yeah, me too. Me too. There's not one righteous. In sin, under a curse. Trapped in sin. Powerless over the curse. There's none righteous. Not you, not me. Yeah, we were born this way. I get it. But there are far too many that are lost in sin. Not just the behavioral sin, original sin. Simply because they do not believe the Word of God. They've dismissed the Word of God. They remain in their sin. They dismiss Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. They remain in their sin. They do not believe what the Word says. They believe what the world says. What do you believe? What do you believe? Where do you place your faith? Where do you place your understanding? Particularly concerning sin. The fall of mankind? Oh no, your sin. Your behavior? No. The behavior of Adam and Eve, deception, deceit, the works of the devil. Nothing's changed since there's been people on the planet. Many just changed the definition of sin. Because sin, after all, is a theological term. So they just changed the definition of it to mean something else. Oh, no, you're not a sinner, you're a great lover. Because all love is good. Pedophile. That's not sin. No. There's no such thing. There's no moral or ethical values required to live in love. The world's view. And see, that's behavior sin. That's behavioral related sin. That's your behavior related sin. Not the origin of sin, not the curse of sin, the plague of sin upon the planet. See, maybe I can say it this way and you won't freak out. Your sin did not bring about the curse upon mankind. Your sin did not bring about the curse upon mankind. But sin brought about the curse upon mankind. Original sin, the beginning of sin. Many will never cover their sin. They stay lost in their sin. And this is what's really amazing. They continue to create new ways of sinning, to promote new ways of evil, to create new ways of deception to get you to move further and further away from God. While those who claim Jesus as their Savior, anybody in here claim Jesus as their Savior, give me an amen.
Amen.
While those who claim Jesus as their Savior are no longer under the curse of the devil's work or sin. The wages of sin is death. We've overcome death, and we shall be like he is. Now we have our sin covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the end of sin. Done. It's over. It's accomplished. It is finished. We do not go on in our sin, because now we are in Christ. And we, now watch, we are no longer viewed by God as in your sin. You do not go on sinning. We are set free from the curse. We're set free from the devil's work. We've been set free from that bondage. We've escaped that captivity. We've broken the chain. Jesus has set us free. Here's your next slide. Jesus did his work on the cross to break the curse. But Pastor, I know I still sin. Behavior. It's your behavior. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I feel as if I continue to do sin and create sin and promote sin, and that's behavior. That's behavior. I am working out my salvation. I am in Christ. I am no longer viewed as in my sin. I am in Christ working out my salvation. Though I may break a moral law, though I may step on an ethical law from time to time, I am not under the curse of sin and death. I am not under the curse of the devil's work. I've stomped on the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ. That curse has been put to rest. I am not dead in my sins anymore. God's view of me is not cursed. God's view of me is not a sinner. I am a child of God. What were we just singing? I am a child of God. Please put to rest earning a salvation with your perfect behavior. You can't. No one can. You can't. No one can. That's not what we're talking about. That was your behavior, the original sin that separated us from God, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. For those that would accept and proclaim Jesus as their Savior, that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. You're no longer in your sin, and you do not keep on sinning. That's behavior. We're talking about the original sin washing you clean and God marking you with the Holy Spirit of God. From a very spiritual, contextual view of this passage, we're those children of God by placing our faith in him. And if you have not done this, you're in lawlessness. You continue on under the influence of the devil's work. You continue on under the curse. You continue on under original sin. You continue on in condemnation. For Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through it. Why didn't he come to condemn the world? The world's already condemned. He came to save the world, those that would place their faith in him, to pull them out of the condemnation, to pull them out of the curse, so that they would not be in sin, but that they would be in Christ, and God would view them as pure and holy and righteous and a child of God. That's the big overview picture. Sin's curse broken. So here's your next slide. Let's think of it like a football player. Anybody watch football? Can't be the only one in here. Come on. Somebody's got to watch some football. Consider just an all-pro football player. He knows his responsibilities, and he normally performs the tasks as he's supposed to. As a matter of fact, he gets $12 million a year to play the position. If he's a guard, well, he's going to have to pull sometimes and run around and make the block, right? If he's a receiver, he's going to have to catch the pass. If he's a running back, right, he's going to have to run. Quarterback, what is he going to do? He's going to throw the ball, baby. Throw the ball. He has $12 million a year to throw the ball, to run, to catch, right? But occasionally, the quarterback throws an interception. Occasionally, the running back fumbles the ball. Occasionally, the receiver, no, drops the pass. But that's the exception, not the rule. You with me? It's the exception, not the rule. They pay him $12 million a year. He was paid for, part of the team. Consider the Christian life. Sin in the life of the Christian is the exception, not the rule. Your behavioral sin in your Christian life is the exception, not the rule. If you're born of God, you do not practice sin. You practice to make the block. You practice to make the catch. You practice to throw the ball so that it doesn't get intercepted. God did not pay for you to practice sinfulness. God paid for you that you might live righteously, pure and holy, without sin. Though you fumble the ball from time to time, or drop the pass, or throw an interception, that's the exception, not the rule. God paid for you to live righteously. And then to claim I am forgiven of the wages of death and the original sin. God paid for me. I'm cleansed from the devil's work and the curse and the condemnation. And then you continue to create sin. You practice sin. You perpetuate sin. You promote evil in your life and in the lives of others. You purposefully fumble the ball. You purposefully throw an interception. You purposefully drop the pass. I think you've rejected the coach's instructions and you're not on the team. Are you accepting all the benefits of salvation and never becoming a disciple? You're not trying to make the team? You practice sin? Habitual sin? You even promote it? You're not working out your salvation? Sin is not the exception, it's the rule in your life? I don't think you're on the team. See, that's like getting $12 million and you don't show up for practice. How long are you going to be on the team? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Here's your next one, great love. In Christ, we encounter this great love. We encounter this great love. What this great love has done for us. While we were still in our sin, while we were still running amok, while we were still purposely fumbling the ball, while we were purposely throwing interceptions, while we were purposely missing the blocks, he came for us. He descended out of eternity in paradise to come here. He did this. His love for you, not your love for him. His love for you. His desire to know you. His will is done. This is the desire of God. His great love lavished upon us. His love is unlimited and knows no bounds. It's an amazing love that he holds for us. A love that draws us and calls us his children. A love that is surprising and supernatural. A love that surpasses anything of this earth. A love that transcends the spiritual over the physical. A love that is unlimited in nature. And a love that forgives enemies. A love that would forgive the sinner, you, and your behavior. A love that is patient in the face of opposition. A love that is kind and slow to anger. And if that great love of God has been lavishly poured out upon you, do you think we can show that kind of love to others? Who's the kindness for? Why be patient? For who? Who am I gentle toward? Others that have not quite made the team? Others that are trying to find the ways and places they fit in? Others that are struggling to even define who they are? The world lost in its own perpetuation of evil. That while they are still in their sin, I would die for them, that they might have the opportunity to be in Christ. Do we have that kind of great love? While they are in their sin, do we love them? That's the love of Christ. Because while you were in yours, he loved you. Can we extend grace, mercy, and love to the unlovable? To those that are kind of, you know, worship trees and rocks? Or those that are very humanistic? Or those that can't decide whether they're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman or an it or a them or a they? Can you love them? Because they're probably lost. And it becomes blaringly apparent they're lost. They have no peace in their own hearts. They're lost, struggling, hurting, trying to find their way. Can we have that great love, selfless, that thinks of the needs of others? Watch. Overlooks the behavior. Oh, man, we love to judge the behavior. Overlooks the behavior and the rebellion and sees the person lost, confused, afraid, not at peace with themselves or anything or anyone. That's a loss in a hurting world. Jesus Christ came to save it. Most people show contempt toward a lost soul. Jesus holds sacrificial love. Most people judge the poor. They judge the lame. They judge the sick. They judge the hurting. Jesus holds compassion and mercy. What nationality are you? If I was to say nationality or ethnicity, say I'm a Native American, Indian, Cherokee, from here. And then I'm Polish and Czechoslovakian from over there, from European. So I'm one of those, right? So who's got some nationalities? Anybody got a weird nationality, something? I'm Finnish. What do you got? What do you got? Huh?
Heinz 57.
You're a mutt. A Heinz 57. Yeah, okay. Right, right. Yes, what do you got? Spanish, German, and 1% Jew.
Danish.
Danish. Oh, okay. Danish. All right. That sounds cheese or raspberry. Danish. What? Come on, Denise. I know you got an accent. What is that? Brit. British. That's the British accent. All right. Yeah. If I said it was a Scottish accent, she'd be very offended. English accent. What makes you a Heinz 57? What makes you sit? It's because of your heritage, right? It's the bloodline, right? And then you try to follow it back. My birth, and then their birth, and their birth, and the lineage that goes on and on and on and on and on. That makes me what I am. That makes you what you are, and, right? Sometimes there's hair traits and eyeballs and height and weight and just all kinds of stuff that goes on into all of that. And then I go, yeah, but I'm born again. Well, what does that even mean? Oh, yeah, I'm born again. I'm recreated. I'm regenerated. I'm a child of God with the blood of my Father, my heavenly Father. I have his DNA, the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the only way I can begin to even love like God. Otherwise, I love like a Native American Indian. I'm not so sure about you. Or a Polish man. Or a Heinz 57. Or a Brit. With Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God flowing through your veins, you are capable of this great love. Not your ethnicity, not your nationality, with God's heritage, God's lineage, the Holy Spirit of God, this kind of love, this forgiving love, this kindness, this patience. I have the Holy Spirit of God pumping in my heart. Cut me, I hope I bleed Jesus. Stab me, I hope I bleed Jesus. Insult me, I hope I bleed Jesus. Steal from me, abuse me, use me, I hope I bleed Jesus. And if I have to bleed in this world, may I bleed Jesus. The love that God holds for us is the love I should hold towards others. I can't save anyone out of their sin, but I can love them like the Father loves them. I can love them like Jesus loves them. Here's your next slide. See, the older I get, the more I sound like my Father. The older I get, the more I sound like my heavenly Father. Are you with me? Love looks different in the kingdom of God than it does in the world. And all who have this hope of being in Christ purify themselves just as he is pure. There's your next one, is a purification or purity. Our lives should be characterized by trying to do what's right, by trying to complete the pass, by trying to make the block, by trying to make the tackle, Our lives should be characterized by the efforts and trying. Though I miss a block, though I throw an interception once in a while. That, again, is the exception, not the rule. Doing what is right involves integrity when no one else is looking. Honor, trust, admiration and respect, courage, reliability. You were paid for. You were paid for. More than 12 million bucks a year. You were paid for by a precious life. Blood shed upon the cross. That you might be forgiven of your sin. That you might not walk in sin anymore. You were paid to make the block. Trying not to sin. Now we're in behavior. My sins are covered. Now I'm trying, working out my salvation. I'm trying not to sin. I do what I do because I am in Christ. I don't do what I don't do because I am in Christ. Now I come to the church, to the house of God, to the altar, to this sanctified and holy ground. Show up on Wednesday prayers and Thursday prayers and read my Bible and soak my passages. And I come here over and over. I don't have to be here. I choose to be here. Are you ready? It's difficult for me to share this with you. I come to the house of God come here. This might be a surprise for some of you. I come here because I have imperfections. I come here because I'm still trying to figure it all out. I come here because I'm trying to improve my behavior. I come here because I love the Lord and I need the Lord in my life. I know that might be a surprise to some of you, but I keep coming around to see what God's going to do in me next. I keep showing up because I want to see what God's going to do in you. I keep showing up because I can't wait to see what God's going to do with us. We're not there yet. We're working it out. We're on this journey. Do you remember when you started walking with the Lord? For some of you, it could be decades, 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 and decades, or even decades ago. You started walking with the Lord. Do you remember, or can you recall how you knew you didn't know much? Can you remember that? Do you remember how you didn't quite have it all together? You didn't quite understand everything in every passage and every understanding of the Bible. You just didn't understand it all. You knew you were missing some things, but you kept coming. You kept showing up. You kept desiring for God to do something in your life. You kept waiting and praying and desiring and encouraging, and you'd see Him do amazing things. And then you keep showing up and you keep praying and you keep practicing over and over and over again, practicing not to sin in my behavior because I want to honor Christ because I'm in Christ. I want to represent the kingdom of God. Does that sound like you? You didn't get it all. You still don't get it all, but you keep showing up. You keep practicing. Has something changed? Did you stop showing up for practice? Do you think you now know it all? You think you don't need to read the soap? You think you don't need to be in a prayer call and a Bible study? You don't need to do any of that? How many passes have you dropped? How many fumbles? How many interceptions? Does God have you sitting on the bench? Have you grown contemptuous instead of compassionate? People have been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, and they have grown contemptuous, graceless, judging people's behavior that are not even in Christ. Have you grown and manifested discord instead of unity? Hatred instead of love? Disdain instead of honor? Judgment instead of understanding? I know this about me. It's probably the wisest thing I know about me. I don't know everything. I come here because I'm still on a journey with God. And apparently that journey includes some of you. And your journey probably includes some of us as well. And aren't we in this together, brother and sister? Aren't we family, as dysfunctional as we are? See, it's not me that purifies you or makes you righteous. It's Christ who does that. It's the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives that guides us and challenges us and changes us and molds us. God's word reveals many things. Church is a wonderful place to keep showing up, to keep practicing, to get your life together, to work out your salvation. God is about to do amazing things, things that you've never even begin to imagine in your life. He's revealing himself in new and in vibrant ways. And oftentimes I'm blown away. This was last week. Just blown away. When someone will come up to me after service and say, "The Lord was strong today and spoke to me." He's preaching. I felt the movement of God comforting me. You know, the Lord is working, and he showed me myself. I didn't like what I saw. Now you can begin to move into that place of understanding your sin is covered. Now it's working out your salvation. See, as I get closer to Christ, I don't realize how great I am. I realize how much I need to grow. As his child, I get this wonderful Holy Spirit DNA, and so do you. I can search my own soul and learn to grow, and I can leave all the guilt and the shame in the past. Because my sinfulness is an exception, it's not the rule. Not in my household, not in this church. Though there is sinful behavior among us, though there is sinful behavior that takes place, though the world is already lost and condemned and stuck in their sin, we walk this walk together in Christ, encouraging one another. The world needs better people. Be one. The world needs better men. Be a man. The world needs better women. Be a woman. I can see how God loves us and works in me, how he guides me even as his child. His great love for me, I cannot fully understand. I do not think I'm worth it, but he does. And that's all that matters. Because I've died to my own self, my own wants, my own thoughts, my own ideas about even what I think about me. He thinks that highly of me. You're amazing. The love that he has lavished upon you. And dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning and has not stopped. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Let's move on with Jesus stepping on the devil's tail, crushing the work of the devil, crushing the work of the devil in you. There's your next one, works of evil. You probably have heard this one before. A believer was asked, how are you doing in your Christian walk? And they replied, it feels like I have two hungry wolves inside, right? Constantly fighting each other. And then they were asked, well, which wolf is winning? Well, the one I feed the most. Right? You've heard this? It's like the good and the bad, and which one are you feeding the most? Continue to feed the sinful nature. Continue to purposefully drop the pass. Continue to purposefully throw the interception. Continue to, I promise you, you will be turned over to your depraved minds, and you will be sitting on the bench. And you'll be wondering why you're confused and lost in a world that is going nowhere. And then to allow God's condemnation to torment the soul. And then to lead others into the pits of destruction, to encourage others to remain in death and in hell, and then continuing to promote evil and create sin. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Their whole rule is perpetuating sin and perpetuating evil. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. What is doing what's right? Back into behavior. Accepting Christ as your Savior is a right behavior. See, the most self-righteous people, they say, well, what is right? Or what is truth? Or those that are struggling in their own moralistic ways, you know, well, what is moral? What is ethics? Based on what? Who? What author? What book? The Quran? The Torah? The New Testament? See, self-righteous is seeking for ways to not love. They're looking for ways to not love. Are you looking for an excuse to not love? Are you looking for an excuse to hate? Are you looking for reasons to hate church? Are you looking for reasons to hate me? I promise you, you will not have to look very hard, because hate is easy. Hate is easy. Can we begin to recognize the works of the devil? Begin to recognize the promotion of the devil's work and sinfulness in us and around us, trying to divide, trying to split the fellowship, trying to keep you at home and not come to the altar, trying to discourage us and promote evil, trying to encourage you, drop the pass, throw an interception. I now realize, as a son of the Most High God, I destroy the works of the devil every day in my own life. The works of evil that are within me. Impurity, lust, greed, hatred, dissension, envy, stealing, gossip, depression, selfishness. That was yesterday. How are you doing? Working out your salvation. Some things in my life get broken. I've conquered that. No more porn in my life. I'm done with that. And the devil has a great way of putting it all back together and representing it to you. I've beaten that. Not going back to those ways. I've beaten lust. I've beaten greed. I've beaten envy. I've broken its chains upon me. Jesus has set me free. And here comes the devil. No. Here it is. Right here. Some things get destroyed and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Done. Cold turkey. No problems. Others, have some problems. I'm pretty sure it's the same with you. I'm pretty sure that just as a people, just as a person, this is our life. This is our spiritual understanding. This is our behavior. If you're a child of the Most High God, put to death the things of the devil. Destroy the things of the devil. Are you afraid of what it might be like to destroy the greed in your life? Are you afraid of what it might mean to destroy the lust in your life? Do you think the pleasures that you now associate with envy and lust and greed and the things that you perpetuate in your own mind over and over and over and over again, much like envy, that it will not be replaced by something better and more pleasurable and more fulfilling? How about trading lust for real love? How about trading anger for kindness? Depression for joy? Weakness for strength? I've chosen lust before. I prefer love. I've chosen anger before. I prefer kindness. I've chosen greed before. Chase the dollar, chase the dollar. It's what's going to make you successful. I prefer generosity. The Lord moves you out of what you think is so valuable and precious to something that is much more fulfilling and much richer. What did we say in Sunday school? Richer fare. It's so much richer, so much more fulfilling, so much more abundant. The Lord will move you out of what you think success is and into a deeper, more meaningful life. Hold on to God's works, and you will receive both the physical and the spiritual rewards of this life and the next. Because your salvation is now. If you're in Christ, it's now. It's not after death. It's now you are in Christ. Now you have been marked by the Holy Spirit of God. Now you walk in power. Now you beat the devil back. Now you're able to walk in victory. Here and now, not then and there. Here and now. Here's a series of slides here. I'll try to give them to you quick. What we are is children of God. What we are is children of God. What we will be is like Him. Done. Done. What we try to be is pure and holy. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to just be here, my brothers and sisters. Pray that you might continue to work within us, Father, shape and mold and guide and lead and inspire, challenge, confront us if you have to. Father, stir up our souls, guide us even in our own thoughts, that we would be transformed in our own minds to be more like Christ. And Father, may we grow up to be like our heavenly Father. Come before you in His name. Amen. God bless you.